セガサターンしよう。
Welcome, welcome to the Shiro Show. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome on in.
Welcome to the party that never ends, folks. We were just partying 24/7 here. No. Wrong opinions detected.
Does the party keep going even when we stop live streaming? Is that how this works?
Yeah, it keeps going. We got the shadows casts. We got the parties and the chats. We got all the parties. Shiro Shamao. Wow, from Pat probably. Yeah, that's what I want
to
say.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Thanks
the
for gyro, watching.
The Euro show. Yes.
Got plenty of Saturn goodness to talk about today.
And non-Saturn goodness and controversy.
And non-Saturn goodness. Yeah, we'll get into some hot retro gaming topics.
Yeah, we actually decided to get very political on the show. Dan, yes. I want you to show me your... I want you to share your very political opinion. Like, just the most controversial political opinion you have. I'm joking, don't do that. Until we cancel. Don't do that.
Okay. Maybe that's
not saying that your thing's canceled. It's like we don't want to get political on the show.
Anyway, how are you doing, Pat? What's going on with you this week?
Good. Put the mic closer, Dan. No, I need to raise this thing up. It's me.
Yeah, the mic's always inches from my face. It never really changes.
It just dangles. I'm not going to comment. Sorry. I promise that was my New Year's resolution of being less sexual innuendos, but. It's kind of hot.
You're failing so far already. Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody strap in because it's another
strap on.
Pat and Dan special here. We don't have any Saturn Dave with us this week. He's busy doing a thing with his son for Boy Scouts, something like that. Yeah, we do miss him, of course. We always do. So here I am filling his seat as best I can. The shape in the couch is not to the shape of my butt. It's the shape of his, so it's a little uncomfortable, but what can I do?
Yeah.
It would look weird if I moved over to my usual spot. That's a good point. I'm also not used to sitting on this couch.
Yeah, it's
because you're hosting.
Exactly. This couch is very... It's honestly, I just keep throwing it out and bringing it back in, so there's a lot of mold that's been seeping in over the years.
Oh God!
So
it's the moldy couch. Okay, I'm looking a bit large. Well, that's because this couch is just straight on and it's not kind of like curved, so I'm not farther away from the camera virtually than I normally am.
Yeah, the camera has a zoomed in look on the set.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we want to be closer to you.
Yeah, we want
to
touch
the
you. Oh gosh, that's creepy.
Man, that is two innuendos already, and we are 5 minutes into this show.
Let's look at the System of a Down logo. Somebody do a Photoshop on my hand with the System of a Down first album cover. Do that for me.
Padres hat. I won't know the difference. Yeah, sorry, I'm fresh out of Padres hats. All I've got is an old Cleveland Indians hat.
Dan only watches good baseball teams.
Yeah, go Guardians, man. They're best in the major league.
Totally. Diamondbacks,
maybe not
yeah.
Last night they kind of melted down, but hopefully they won't do that a whole lot more.
I'm hoping they do.
Wiener Bob, thank you for the $1.99. Pat, I challenge you to virtual on Netlink sometime.
I'm down. If you want an ass whooping, I can hand that out to you. I have a bunch of ass whooping.
Pat is very
cards.
Good at virtual on.
Yeah, I was at the last Cavs game. It was amazing.
You were slow coin. That's cool. You actually got to see them win. That was an exciting one. I was not there, but I was watching at home on TV. That's lots of swag. They give you like swag for the playoff games. That's cool.
They give you those hitters, the baseball things, like the, you know, the clapper things, the things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the
we
whammy
get those
things?
In like
what's it called?
Yeah. Thunder sticks.
That's it.
Yeah, double dime slow coin here. Actually played against me in Netlink last week. We played. What did we play? I think we played Daytona. I think we went through each of the five tracks in Daytona. I do have to say the Japanese version of Daytona, like Circuit Edition, does run a hell of a lot better online than the U.S. version, the Netlink edition does. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It's just that Netlink edition runs so slow, but the Japanese one actually feels pretty close to like how offline feels. And I had the best of Double Dime for the first few races, and then he started kicking my ass. What was really funny was one of the races I smacked into the wall like totally wiped out, and I was in a complete standstill in the wall, and I was like way ahead of Double Dime at that point. And so then I was at a complete standstill, and then he comes like smashing into the back of me. So as soon as like I've just recovered from my wipeout, I wipe out again because he just smacked into me. And afterward, he says to me on Discord, he's like, you know, he ended up beating me in that race. He goes, that's what you get for stopping. And I'm like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He's like, you were stopped. You were waiting for him. And I'm like, no, I wasn't. I just crashed. Then you crashed into me again.
Wow,
like,
what a bully.
I know, he did bully me. It was really funny, though.
Mods, time out, slow quote. I'm just joking. Don't do that. Don't do that. That was a joke.
No, but then we played Virtua Fighter Remix online after that, and that was pretty good. Double Dime is not bad at Virtua Fighter, I have to say. He's really good. I got a few wins in. I think he probably beat me a little more than I beat him, but like, we had good matches. They were very
As long as you guys had a back and forth, like, I like it
sweaty.
I like it better when it's a back and forth than a blowout, because it's like,
oh yeah,
because like I said, that's where I found most fun. Like with my last one, like that was a back and forth that I did with the one dude online, the Gregor Rasputin virtual on. That was like back and forth, literally. It was so close until I was dumb and wanted to see if I can counter pick him, and I got owned. But hey, it happens.
You took a chance. I also played against, Gregory's wife, Kesha, over the weekend too on Netlink, because we were paired against each other in the big Puzzle Bobble tournament, the big bust a move, if you will, online tournament. And man, that went poorly connection wise. Apparently, I just have very poor connection with people in California. I tried playing against her, and I tried playing against Saturn Dave. Actually, Bunny played against Saturn Dave. And then I kind of like hopped in to try Bomberman against him, because she was paired against him in the Puzzle Bobble tournament. Mm-hmm. And for both those people, it's just like slower than molasses in January trying to play that game. It's awful. And I tried doing like a ping, a speed test to a San Diego server, and sure enough, the ping was super slow. So like, it's not just like a Netlink problem. It's like the way the intertubes are connected between California and where I live here in Northeast Ohio.
Well, like Bob Dole said, the internet's a series of tubes. You can't just dump a bunch of stuff on. I think that's
and
Bob
Dole. And the tubes are extra curly when they're getting to. Yeah. There was some U.S. politician.
I'm fairly sure it's Bob Dole. If anybody could fact check me. And it's a famous YTMND meme. It's like, internet's a series of tubes, just can't dump stuff onto it.
Yeah, but I just want to apologize to Kesha. It sucks that, you know,
was
our
it
match
Al Gore?
Is super slow. I don't think Al Gore said.
No, he said you invented the internet. It was somebody else, though. It wasn't Al Gore.
Al Gore did help invent the internet, but no, someone else said the internet's a series of tubes.
Yeah.
Did you guys try swapping who was dialing and calling? I think we did, and we also rebooted our routers. We rebooted like our whole setups to try to connect, to reconnect, and it's like it went even slower afterwards. So we're just like, all right, well, let's just go with this and try to make work. And then what sucked was I did not realize what side of the screen I was on. I thought I was player two. I was actually player one. So I'm just like hitting the button, mashing the button, and I'm like, why isn't any of my bubbles shooting out? Like, man, this is going super slow.
And you're
little
losing.
Did I know that over on the other side, I'm like just piling up bubbles, like I'm about to lose. And I realized, I'm like, oh god, I've made a big mess for myself. Meanwhile, she had like accidentally changed her controls during the option screen right before like it timed out and started the match. And I said, like, do you want to just like restart and change your controls back? She's like, no, it's fine, but like she still had to like figure out what her controls are like. She didn't know what the shoot button was for like a good minute. So like I was busy losing for myself, and she was busy not being able to shoot at all.
I wanted to just count that one.
So
it was like, I would count as a warm up.
It was a mess. We should have, but it was like, it was so slow that like we just wanted to like get through it.
We ended up winning.
I ended up winning, so I moved. I'm still in the winner's bracket on Puzzle Bobble.
You just winning every day, Dan.
Yeah, I guess that's two rounds.
Dan, the winner.
Hey, speaking of Puzzle Bobble, I had mentioned last week that I got a bust a move on the PSP. Mm-hmm. It didn't come with a manual, so Bunny bought a manual. So oh, it does come with a manual. It's small. It's like 8 pages, but it's in nice shape, and now I have one, so it'll be a complete copy. That's super cool. Also, I picked up, this isn't Saturn related, but a couple of these, they call them collectible cards for Spy Family when Bunny and I went to see the movie last night.
Oh, that's cool. We can have a discussion now. What did you think of the Spy X Family movie?
I thought it was really good. It was a fun movie. I liked it. I was glad I saw it.
Nice. I mean, I feel like we just talk about it.
Without doing spoilers, I mean, it's
do
not
spoiler
like
warning. I want to do spoilers.
Consequential.
We don't get to talk about anime on here, so I want to do
super
it.
Super consequential. Well, we can for like a minute. It's a Saturn show. I don't want to get too in the weeds on Spy Family, but like, it was it felt like kind of like an extended episode, but like in a good way. Like they definitely did it writ large, you know, like the animation seemed like it was stepped up. You know, the plot was a little more epic than your usual like Spy Family episode, or like it felt like a multi-episode arc, you know.
It felt like an arc, like you know how they have like the small arcs where it's like, oh hey, she needs to get good at this or learn this thing.
Like when they're on the cruise ship, you know.
Yeah,
it felt like that. But it was cool. I liked it. It had good moments to it, a lot of good character moments, you know, like between Lloyd and Yor and Anya was hilarious. That whole we won't describe it too much because it's hard to describe, but there's a sequence where it gets super trippy, and it's like the animators went wild with that. It was insane, but also
crazy.
Super funny. I really need somebody to put some GIFs up on like the Discord automatic GIF finder for that, because I mean it was amazing.
That's me after Taco Bell.
Yeah, I know exactly. That's that sort of thing.
But yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was. I'm kind of jealous that you got Feelies. Yeah. I didn't get any of those at my theater. I
didn't expect to. It was like the last night it was going to be showing in my area.
Yeah,
like,
they didn't have it.
I told Bunny like we got to go. Like this is our last day, our last chance.
Yeah, no, I
so,
went.
Yeah,
to,
got cards.
I went on Monday of last week. I wanted to see it just because I haven't been to movie theaters in a while.
Yeah.
There really hasn't really been anything good that I really wanted to see. Like, there was nothing that's been,
We saw Ghostbusters.
Oh, I did see that the week. I did see that the day before that. That's right.
Okay, there you go.
That's the last thing so I went to see with my family, and then I saw the Spy X Family thing. I was like, oh, yeah, I want to go see that. So, oh, yeah, Mad Max 5's coming out. I forgot about that. I need to go see that one, too.
I'm going to go see Mad Max 5. Nice, nice.
Yeah, but overall, I really liked it. I'm kind of jealous you got Feelies, though. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, cool little thing.
Did
like
you watch it dubbed or
mini
subbed?
Posters or, sub, or no, dubbed. We saw it dubbed. We watched
here.
The whole show dubbed. So I figured, you know, to be consistent, we'd, you know, see a dub. I like seeing anime dubbed when it's available because then I can focus more on enjoying the animation. You know, it's a cartoon. The animation's a big part of it. The art is a big part of it. And I feel like if I'm constantly reading stuff at the bottom of the screen, it's harder for me to appreciate that art. So I like going dub when possible.
Okay,
but if a show isn't dubbed, if it's just subbed, that's fine too. I'll watch it if I'm interested in it. You know, I'm
not. You know, I thought it was weird somebody mentioned Star Wars being shown in theaters this weekend. They had a Spider-Man marathon at the theater I went to. I guess Doctor myself, Harkins, was having the Spider-Man marathon where it's like the Spider-Man 1 through 3, the worst two Spider-Mans, and then the
amazing ones.
Yeah, and then the other Spider-Mans with the, what's his name, the new one.
Garfield?
Yeah, right, Andrew Garfield. No,
that was the amazing ones.
Who's the one after that?
Tom Holland, the MCU.
Yeah, Tom
ones.
Holland. Yeah, so they did all those. I thought it was interesting. Like I said, when I went to go see the Ghostbusters, they were showing Spider-Man 2, and they had posters. And I was joking with my roommate when we went to see Spike's family. I was like, "Why is there Spider-Man 2 posters? Did we go back in time to 2004?" And I was joking. I was like, "Man, there really was anything that came out in 2004 that was good." And I was like, "Wait, that's a lie. That they had Metroid, Return of Samus, Spider-Man 2, and there were a bunch of other stuff we were coming up with. I forgot that came out in 2004, but there was a lot of stuff I completely forgot." So 2004 actually was a pretty decent year. I thought it was a pretty bad year, but I guess I was wrong. It's been and Frogball, Lucky Americans, Ollie Riddle, Star Wars. No, it's the crappy George Lucas one.
They're all George Lucas ones.
I meant like the special editions where it's
The special editions. Yeah, it's not the originals,
yeah.
Sadly.
Honestly, if they show the originals in theaters, like original theatrical cuts, I will go see it. But I always see the Star Wars marathons, and it's always like the change ones. Like, why would I want to waste my time seeing those ones and then have to suffer through the prequels again and then have to suffer through episode 8 again? That's not a fate that I'm really want to take. So it's kind of funny. I like Star Wars, but I hate Star Wars at the same time. It's weird. Oh, Spider-Man, yeah. Oh, they're doing that everywhere? Okay. I was talking about Throgbolt with the Star Wars, but yeah. No, I thought it was just a Harkins thing, but man, really, Marvel doesn't have anything come out this year, do they?
They have one thing. They've got Deadpool and Wolverine. That's their like only movie this year.
No wonder why they're doing that. They got nothing. Like, I don't know.
They need some kind of revenue. Well, they had to push everything back because of the writer's strikes. And honestly,
I forgot about that. No wonder why everything is barren. I was like, why is there nothing coming out? I forgot about that.
Because everything was shut down for most of last year. But it's probably for the best. Like, I feel like people were getting a little burnt out on the MCU, and maybe they needed, like, to take a year off and kind of retool. Let everybody miss it again.
Yeah, no, just the last few movies were really bad.
Like, I don't think they were bad. No, I didn't think the Marvels was bad. It wasn't, like, the best movie of all the MCU movies or anything, but like I thought it was a fun adventure. Like, it was fine.
I didn't bother seeing it. I was like, I had no interest in seeing it.
Oh, you didn't
even
see it? How can you say it's bad? You didn't see it.
Because it looked bad. I was like, I have no interest in these characters.
No, it was good. Did you see the Ms. Marvel show?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, I mean, then you
No, I didn't watch the Ms. Marvel show. No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. Okay, you should watch that. I guess that would reduce the appeal of the Marvels then, because she's like a big part of it, and she's great. Iman Vellani, is that her name? She's the actress. She's really good.
I was never a fan of the Marvels, that Marvel side thing. I was always a bigger fan of Cosmic Marvel. So once they're doing Guardians 4 and doing that again,
Cosmic Marvel though.
Oh yeah, it is technically. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you should totally watch it sometime, Pat.
I want a Nova movie. I want a damn Nova movie is what I want.
Who knows?
Give me Nova.
Okay, so did you have any pickups this week, Pat?
I did. Unfortunately, it's in the other room. If you want me to get it real quick, I can run real quick.
Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna grab, you can
That's fine. I'll
something.
Hold down the I'm fort. So Pierre says in chat, I saw Dune 2 and it was great. That's cool. I actually did not see Dune 2. Bunny and I saw Dune 1 at a drive-in movie theater when it came out, and it was cool, except the very last like climactic scene was so dark that we could not see anything on the screen. We couldn't tell what was happening in Dune 1. So yeah, I didn't see Dune 2 in theaters. I'll have to like catch it on streaming or something sometime. Knight of Dragon, Emerald Nova plus Danthrax equals Dan Nova.
Did you tell
them
a joke?
That would be a show.
Was it funny?
Yes. I'm full of jokes, and they're always funny.
All right, cool. I'm glad to hear. But anyways, so I picked up something. So I was talking to you about me missing Record Store Day, because there's this one record I wanted.
Yeah. We tried to look for it for you last weekend or a couple weeks ago, and we couldn't find it.
Unfortunately, it wasn't there, so I was like, oh, that's a bummer. Because it's one of my favorite records, a special edition, but I actually ended up going to eBay and finding it. Everybody Digs Bill Evans, the mono
cut
of it.
You paid a scalper?
It was only $60, so.
Okay.
I paid a scalper, but it's like, it was worth it not to have to go hunt it down, have to go wake up at the crack of dawn, go search all over the place. They're just like, okay, I just...
They didn't print very many of them, so it may not have even been at whatever store you tried to go to.
Yeah, so that was a big bummer. But yeah, I ended up picking up Everybody Digs Bill Evans. This is why it's so special, is that it's a mono, the mono cut, analog cut, full analog, all analog equipment, cut by a master presser, AAA analog, great Tipton jacket. I loved it. It's one of my favorite records, has a black vinyl. It's really high quality, it even came with like the elephant condom, that's protective sleeve. It's like that. So I got that. It's really nice. Black vinyl. It sounded really good. I've been listening to that, kind of nonstop. Like I've like been just sitting around, like putting it on when I go to bed. It's a really good record. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's been amazing. I love Bill Evans, one of my favorite records of all time.
Wow, yeah, that was a good pickup for you then.
It was. I was really happy. Actually, I learned there's another pickup that I need to get that I missed completely. Is that apparently they have the Daft Punk Interstellar 555 version of Something About Us. And apparently I missed it. It's like the anime version with the characters. I was like, oh man, I wanted that one.
Hmm.
So that's a big bummer, but
back to eBay, I guess.
Back to eBay I go. But yeah, besides that, that really was my only pickup vinyl wise. Okay. I'm excited though for apparently Interstellar 555 is coming back to theaters in the summer, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think I saw you retweet that.
Are you a big Daft head?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
Shame.
Sorry.
It's fine. But yeah, you should go see it in theaters if it comes out. I think you'd love it. It's a great soundtrack. Okay. It's technically an anime movie, so...
Double Dime's into it.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Last night
I had a dream about you. Oh, these are lyrics. Double Dime did actually have a dream about us. That's good.
I don't know what to do. Go me and you. God, I love that one. But yeah,
Daft Punk
is amazing. Daft Punk is the best. Slow Coin will be in the theaters with me. We'll watch together, hold hands. It'll be sweet.
Should we get into the news this week? The person who's not here wrote up two of the three articles on the website this week. Yeah, so
we could get into
day.
It. Okay. I was gonna say, do we want to discuss before we, the news? Do we want to discuss the newest controversy before we get into the news? Or
if you want to do the controversy, I thought we'd maybe get to it at the end if we had time.
I gotcha. We do that if you want. I figure that since it's kind of hot button topic, we can go into that, do the news, and then some of the other stuff if you want to do that.
Okay.
Since we don't have a lot of news today.
I don't know if y'all have heard, you probably have, but we've been talking about in the Discord server a little bit how Limited Run Games was caught, if you will, noticed by the people who bought 3DO games from them, that the CDs were not pressed. The game CDs were just CDRs. They just burned them. And that is causing issues for people who have actually opened their games and are trying to play them on their real 3DOs. Some of the 3DOs are having issues playing those CDRs. So, it's no bueno. It's not a good situation. Limited Run looks real bad. Everybody's criticizing them. They are offering refunds to anyone who wants them. And I think they said they're postponing all their 3DO games until they work with their manufacturer or whatever to actually press discs instead of just burn them to CDRs. Which, you know, congrats, golf clap to that. Maybe that's what you should have done in the first place.
Maybe. But yeah, like I said, it was kind of messy just because it was all over the place. I don't think we wanted to write anything up because it's not really in the Saturn realms. And like,
no, but it's retro gaming. You know, related, so it's kind of a hot topic among circles.
Literally, it's been in all the Discords I've been in. That's the retro one talking about it. But yeah, essentially, I guess they're technically making it right. I think a lot of people like for a while I thought the issue was thank you, Saturn. Thank you, Security Rings. I think the issue I thought people had was that they thought the CDRs were junky, CDRs could be like, you know, very. Very good, especially the Tao Yuden ones, especially the high quality ones. Yeah. But I don't, like I said, I like if it's like a generic one, it's probably going to be kind of junky and not work. Essentially, what they were saying though is that the reason why they went with the CDRs is because apparently the 3DOs in their offices didn't read the pressed ones at all, and they couldn't get it pressed and get it working. But the CDRs all worked in their office, so because they had that small test sample, they thought that's. It all worked on all of them now, but unfortunately, they did the rookie mistake of having a small subset to test from. So when they and because they don't have a QA team anymore, allegedly, that they they didn't really have a lot to test. And when they got to people, there were some revisions that couldn't read 3DOs, or they didn't realize, maybe the laser's not like in a pristine quality or something, you know? Because lasers wear it over time, and no laser's the same as another one, so. You could have a perfectly fine laser that you've been owning for 20 years, or a laser you barely use that's about to die. Like it's very finicky with it. So, they definitely shouldn't have fired all the testers in the world. Yeah.
Memories brings up a good point. D was one of the games affected, one of the 3DO games. So that's Saturn adjacent.
That's
true.
That's fair.
That is fair. Yeah, D, and then I think that meme game, Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, which was also on the Sega CD. Those are like the couple of 3DO games. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, it definitely is. I've seen it. I've seen.
I thought it was a 3DO exclusive thing. Wow, I didn't know that.
Bless you, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm sneezy boy. But yeah, it's very controversial right now.
Bless you too.
Like I said, there's a. That's not a very good sign. Seeing all those vinyl copies go under like STS. I don't think Limited Run Games is at risk of going under. They're pretty successful, and they have a bigger audience than just people listening to vinyl.
Is it not on Sega CD night? I could have sworn I saw it on Sega CD.
I'm pretty sure it was a 3DO exclusive.
All right, well, I'm just talking out of my ass. Sorry
about
that.
It's fair, Dan. We love you. We love you, Dan.
Thanks, despite my inaccuracies.
We love you. It's fine. We respect you.
Okay, yeah, like I said, fair enough.
Yeah, but like I said, we figured we'd talk about it. I don't want to write anything up because we want to hear back and see from Lunar and Games. There's a lot of, they're scamming us, or like they're scamming people.
I mean, it's not really a Saturn topic, but we can talk about it on the podcast, the show here for a couple minutes.
Yeah, but there's a lot of weird stuff, a lot of vitriol thrown back and forth.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think I'm fine, like, holding them accountable. I think they made some pretty dumb decisions going with the CDR route. Honestly, I think, like I said, what you can't blame on malicious intent, you can blame on incompetency. Is that the saying? I forgot what it was.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah, don't blame stuff that's malicious when it can just, you know what I mean. Essentially, the crux is they need better communication. They should have said this in the first place, like, oh yeah, we're doing this with the Sega CD or the CD issues. If you have any problems with that, we can refund you or whatever. They just didn't really say anything, no communication. It's kind of funny. A lot of these companies, they're like collectibles or like audiophile or like some limited stuff or pretty bad at communication because Mobile Fidelity, the guys that did the high quality vinyl records, got caught because a lot of their stuff is digital and like people that were buying from them are expected to be fully analog. So, malicious?
Like there was a problem there where Limited Run did not disclose ahead of time when they were pre-selling all these games that they were going to be on CDRs and not pressed discs. People were like, well, you should have let people know that. And you know what? Honestly, Limited Run probably hadn't even figured that out yet when they pre-sold these things. They probably didn't even know, to be fair. And it's not exactly like they don't really deserve they don't deserve to have fairness there, considering like they should have figured that out before they're taking people's money. But it seems to be the way they operate, and it does kind of remind me of like when they sold the Astro City mini arcade cabinets from Sega.
Yeah,
those are just gonna be Japanese exclusive, and then they like imported some to sell in the U.S. And for like a while, they were just saying like, oh yeah, there's gonna be like English on here, and then all of a sudden they just like quietly. Take it. Yeah, it was just the box is going to have English, and then not even then, like they just like slapped a label on it. Like it was just there wasn't any English at all to it, except for games that just naturally had English to them to begin with, which there's nothing being changed there.
Another thing was that actually with D as well is that apparently nobody knew if they were going to translate the director's cut, and apparently that went untranslated, and it took people reaching out and asking.
Yeah, and Bunny goes, LRG didn't disclose the burger chunk either, right, Dan? Yeah, no, they did not disclose the burger chunk that they added to my Shantae Collector's Edition one day.
That's a special edition.
It's called the Mighty
Media Edition.
Thanks, Limited Run. I loved my burger crumb you included in the box. Anyway, let's move on.
Somebody asked concerning they announced the reissue of Rondo of Blood for the Super CD ROM. I think that'll be fine because that could just press the CD of that. It's not as finicky as the 3DO is, so I think that'll be fine. I think.
Yeah, the problems with take money now, figure out the product later business model, Eric says. Yeah, exactly. It's easier to do that with consoles that are currently in production, like the Switch or the PS4. Because their actual legitimate factories are going to be making those games, and there's not going to be an issue with them, unless it's some isolated thing that happens to like one, and they can just replace it. But yeah, with some of these old consoles, where it's like the factory shut down decades ago, and you have to like figure out what you're going to do with them now, it can be dicey if you don't do it the right way. if there if there even is still a right way to do it. Like with the Saturn, we don't really have a good way of pressing those discs anymore because the Saturn security ring. Yeah, we can't reproduce it.
Somebody was saying that maybe we should try putting them on like a Saru-like cart, like just having a game on a cart. But the issue there is that it's going to put a shit ton of a bunch of wear on that cartridge slot. So
yeah, a lot more of putting carts in and out, and it costs more to make a cartridge.
Yeah, it's really rough when you just keep shoving it in and out like that. You know, it's not good.
So let's like, I'm ignore that completely. No, I just think it's we should talk about the Joe Engine story.
We should. We should.
Yeah. Right. And this. Yeah, so last week, on April 20th, late last week, so we didn't have a chance to write the story up beforehand, but Dave got the story up on Monday, so that was good. Joe Engine author Johannes Fetz announced a significant update to the Sega Saturn software development kit that now includes support for voxels. And he put up a little video there on Twitter showing it off, and then, of course, you can also download the code for Joe Engine off of his GitHub, which we have a link to, and included in Joe Engine now is like a demo for the voxel, so you can kind of like boot it up and play around with it and change it around, make it your own. Johannes also said that this voxel support was the first of several updates rolling out in the weeks to come, so that's cool. He's been kind of dormant with the Joe Engine recently, so this is kind of he's kind of come back to it, and he's working on it again, so that's good
to see.
He's
still supporting the community, though. He's still a top donor, so appreciate
that. Yeah, no, it's not like he's disappeared or anything. You just see he hadn't like really done anything with Joe Engine for a while, or if he had, it was behind the scenes. And even since Dave wrote this story, he already put up another update, I guess, for Joe Engine that like made the voxel engine work even better, like way better. So yeah, he is definitely working on things.
I really like it, though. It definitely gives it a depth of field. I'm excited to see what devs will be able to do with this engine.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, you have to kind of, I guess, design the right game to make use of this technology.
You do like a helicopter's flying, like in, you know, remember Final Fantasy, was it a 6? Was like the airship that's flying around like that?
Yeah, 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 you could do something like that. Well, I mean, we had at least one retail game that used voxels on the Saturn.
Amok.
Amok. You know, which came out in 95. Was it 95 or early 96?
One of those years.
Yeah, around there. But yeah, so that used voxels. So, I mean, I guess you could do like a mech sort of a game too using
That'd
voxels.
Be fun.
Yeah. I would like to see like a flight game using it, you know, like Panzer Dragoon or a Star Fox type of a thing. That would be super cool. Amok is good, Eric says. Amazing work of Johannes, says Frogbull. Yes, you know, it's really cool. When he adds these demos to Joe Engine, that just kind of opens up a new avenue for homebrew developers to make stuff using his engine that, you know, kind of resembles that demo. It gives everybody kind of a foothold. So, yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to try it out, see what they have. It's really neat, and I'm glad this is actually built into the engine. I know that that they kind of had that with they had a voxel like aesthetic with the Blue Skies game.
Yeah,
but now that's in the engine, that's gonna be really cool to see how they can implement that. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I wonder if they will. Oh, Dave actually points out that Blackfire in his story, Blackfire, Magic Carpet, and Amok all use voxels. And those are all commercial games. That's true. Yeah, those
nice.
Are too. I think I was thinking of Black Fire as the 95. I think Amok was early 96, and Black Carpet was later as well. So, yeah, there you go. So Joe Engine gets voxel support, so maybe we'll see some homebrew voxel games, or at least some kind of a little vertical slice or something for the competition at the end of this year. That would be awesome.
Ready, chop.
So moving on to the next story, do you want to take this one, Pat, or do you want me to read this one, too? This other one, Dave also wrote this up about Frogbull and Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, so this one is really cool. So, essentially, this came out of nowhere. I was just like, I woke up one morning, I saw that Frogbull posted a demo of a what-if for Crash Bandicoot teasing a demo of it on the Saturn. I'll play it, like, right here. This little tiny window.
Yeah, he put up a video. Of course, this is not something anybody can download and play, just like some of the other times that Frog Bowl has kind of recreated a bit of a PS1 game on the Saturn, because he doesn't want to get into like IP trouble, but he always puts up these videos and shows what's possible, what the Saturn can do, and that it can do everything that PS1 can do, or at least
if not better.
Or it can at least make games that look like games that ran on the PS1. So it's still a lot of fun to see. In the video, I think there's like a little bit of a running forward platforming section, and then there's kind of like a boss battle where you're sort of like jumping around on platforms on a static screen.
Yeah, obviously he didn't implement the menu of Crash running around, which is probably good. That probably would have been a lot of wasted resources for that, but...
Yeah.
I'm excited to see, like I said, I thought it was a really cool little demo. Have him hopping around. Like I said, it's definitely not one-to-one, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Frog Bullet said, Naughty Dog really pushed the limits of the PlayStation in 1996, making it one of the most technically impressive games of its time, that being Crash Bandicoot. During the development of Crash Bandicoot, the memory limitations were a major concern. To optimize performance and to conserve memory, a lot of vertex colors were used instead of traditional textures. Additionally, to save even more memory, they butchered the libraries provided by Sony. Yeah, they kind of got away.
Yeah, that was kind of the big thing with Crash Bandicoot, is that it kind of broke it to the point where, like, they need to, like, when they did a PS1 revision, they were like, oh my gosh, this game, yeah, it would not literally run on it. So they had to work around that. So it's really interesting. But yeah, like I said, that's the thing with the PS1 is that an easy library, but if you want to modify, you have to get into the nitty gritty, which is what Naughty Dog is really good at doing.
Wrote Frog Bowl claims he has no plans on porting Crash to Saturn. Oh, sorry, you were going to be doing this story. I'm sorry, Pat. I'm just going off.
Yeah, I was going to say he's right there too in the chat if he wants to, but yeah.
Yeah, he is. Frog Bowl's here in chat.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, he has no plans on porting it, but like I said, he just wanted to try. I mean, it's maybe after the comment, it's like, man, I don't think they could. Maybe I should like make like a pseudo comments where it's like, man, I don't think they can. I don't think anybody could do a full Metal Gear Solid 1 on PlayStation on Saturn and be like, wink, wink, Frog Bowl. Wink, wink. But it seems like he's taking challenges.
I was just going to say, what was the space combat game that was on the PlayStation? There were like three of them. I'm blanking on it now. Go ahead, Pat.
Space Combat 1 and 2 and 3?
No, not Ace Combat.
Space Combat, I said, not Ace Combat.
No, not Space Combat either. Space Nobody else combat. Can remember either.
G-Police?
No, not G-Police. Not Omega Boost. I don't even know what that is, Wiener Bob. Colony Wars, thank you, Eric. Yes, Colony Wars. It would sure be crazy if Colony Wars suddenly showed up on the Saturn, Frog Bowl.
Oh, man, that would, yeah. No, he can't do that. There's no way he could do Colony Wars.
No one believes he could do that.
I don't believe that's doable on Saturn, wink, wink.
But it is impossible.
But yeah, no, I think it's really cool. You know, he's been using the Z-Stream engine on these to get these going. It's no different on this one where he uses the, you know...
Yeah, from XL2.
The XL2 engine, so I'm excited about that. Or excited to see that, so that's really good.
It's getting more use.
Yeah, and one of the biggest reasons why he doesn't release is this big one right here, that most of the assets are pretty much ripped from the PlayStation using the Crash Edit tools. So he probably doesn't want to do that and put that in a game and release that for people to play.
I mean, unless he wants to do it anonymously.
Yeah.
It just suddenly appears on Sega Extreme one day under, you know, like... Bullfrog 1192 or something, like, you know, like, oh, this isn't Frog Bowl, this is some other rando, we don't know, just a mysterious figure out from the night who just ported all of Crash Bandicoot to the Saturn and disappeared.
I really want to try these ones. These look like a lot of fun. I think Dave talked to him and he said he might have plans for doing some release. I don't know exactly. Frog Bowl could probably speak for himself since he's here, but I'd love to play this. I'd love to give these a try.
Porting Crash on Saturn is not on my plan, but improve a special Crash for Saturn, I think about, Frog Bowl says.
That'd be fun,
okay.
Like a special Crash version. I'd be down, like a exclusive Crash game where you like make custom levels and stuff.
That would be cool. Or like Frog Bowl designs his own like levels in Crash Bandicoot style. Maybe he'd have to like design his own version of Crash Bandicoot's model, his player model or something, to kind of like get around, you know, use rights. I don't know. But yeah, that would be cool.
I'd be down. But yeah, I think you'll design
the levels. Okay, you did me a level editor. That's cool.
I'd be down. Nice. I'm recreating Super Mario 64.
There you go.
But yeah, the cool thing that I liked about this is that since Crash used a non-standard resolution, he decided to do the same thing on Saturn, opting for the higher 352 by 240 versus the 320 by 224. So really cool. I thought that was kind of neat. And of course, he did this little waterfall effect. I was not sure how he did that, but yeah, apparently he was pretty pleased where, you know, achieved by using multiple sprites and...
Yeah.
Yeah, basically just mimics how the water flows on the PS1. Yeah, that's the thing, though, is that the PS1, the Saturn doesn't have the same PS1 gremlins that the PS1 suffers from, like the morphing textures, like, you know how the textures, like, mm-hmm. warp and stuff, and the quads warp? Yeah.
Yeah, well, the tries, I guess.
Yeah.
For the PlayStation, yeah, they do warp a little more. And, I mean, you get that with the Saturn a little bit, but not as bad.
Yeah, so that's it's heavy.
You can tell when you're looking at a PS1 game.
Exactly. But yeah, I think it's really cool. Honestly, you know what you're funny? Do you watch Smiling Friends at all, Dan?
No, I haven't.
Get that one character from the latest episode that was like a PS1 character. Use him for the Crash replacement. I think that'd be really funny. If I remember there his name, go. I forgot what his name was off the top of my head, but anybody watch the latest Smiling Friends, let me know.
That character is copyrighted too, so this is just more adventures and copyright infringement.
Just send the dudes a message on Twitter. I guarantee you
they'll be cool with it.
I guarantee you if you say, "Hey, can I use that character from Smiling Friends to actually, you know, play the game?" And it's like, "Yeah, sure, absolutely."
We'll make Crash Bandicoot clone on the Sega Saturn.
Yeah, and have him just like victory dance. Ew, ew, ew. That'd be really funny.
Yeah.
I think it's like Wembley or something. I forgot what the Grumbly, I think, is his name. I can't remember. Whoever. Okay. There's got to be someone that watched Smiling Friends in the chat. Just let me know.
You might be the only one. You're the only one that watched Smiling Friends.
There's got to be at least one person that's watched in the chat.
You're
okay,
it?
There you go. Trevo did. There you go.
All right.
Smiling Trevo, what's the name of the. Is it Grumbly? I forgot what his name was.
He might not have seen the most recent episode.
Gwembly, that's it. It's Gwembly. Okay, cool. See, we got two Saturn fans in the chat.
Thanks. Den Rime.
Yeah, Gwembly. I figured something like that, but yeah, just have him be Crash Bandicoot instead. But yeah, honestly, there you go, Frog Bull. If you want an easy fix for this, or easy swap out, just go message the dudes from Smiley Friends, be like, "Hey, can I use Gwembly in a PlayStation game, in a Saturn game?" And I guarantee you they're probably going to say yes.
This is a great plan.
Probably not. Will. I mean, they even have a 3D model for him, so they might be able to even just allow
just
you to use that. Yeah, honestly, they might.
You just have to convert it to quads. It's easy.
Easy stuff. But Days of Sunny Friends, the one is from Oni, who does New Ground Trunks way back. Yeah, I love the dude. I love the dudes that do the show, and then I love Oni Plays. So big Oni Plays fan. But anyways, going back to this, basically, the biggest problem that he had was this memory optimization with this. So that's understandable. To be fair, though, it took teams of engineers and people that are breaking the PS1 to get this to work on a PlayStation. So the fact that it's one dude doing it on a Saturn is kind of impressive, if not amazing. So,
yeah, it is impressive. Everything Frogwell puts out is impressive because he does a really good job with stuff, you know, and it is just always kind of amazing to see a PS1 exclusive, you know, running on a Saturn and looking like it's running on a Saturn, not on a PS1, because of like the aforementioned polygon wobble and that sort of thing not really being present, and, you know, some of the lighting being a little different. So, yeah, super cool.
Yeah, no, that's really cool.
Do you want me to read the best of Saturn for this week from Peter?
No, I shall. But I just want to say one. No, I'm sure you could do it. But I just want to say before we go, if you guys are interested in these projects, definitely follow him on Patreon. I need to make sure that Shiro follows him, so because I need to support him. He supports the show. So I'm gonna have to sign up for Patreon and and support him. So
do it live on stream. Everyone will love to see that.
I'll put my credit card. What could go wrong?
Yeah, nothing. His Patreon is linked in the very first sentence of Dave's story on the website.
And it's at the end as well.
It's just patreon.com/frogbowl. Super easy to remember. So there you go. Support Frog Bowl.
Support the bowl.
Yes.
Alrighty, so can you tell me about Gale Racers?
No, never played it, but Peter can, thankfully. So Peter says, Gale Racer... a man with a reputation and a mission, you are the Gale Racer. Released to Japanese gamers in 1994, Gale Racer is based on the 1991 Sega arcade game Rad Mobile. Or Radmobile? I guess it might be Radmobile. Radmobile. Play in arcade, time attack, or even two players, and tackle many courses with rivals, traffic, and even police to outmaneuver. The view is all from within the car, and there are no polygons here. This is all scaling sprites a la Outrun or Power Drift. The frame rate, the frame rate is decent, though the draw distance is somewhat short. Thank you. Still good for spin, and you even have a little Sonic doll swinging off of your rearview mirror.
Fun fact, this is actually the first appearance of Sonic on the Saturn.
It is, it must be said. First time. Well, this is the first time... this game is the first appearance of Sonic in anything because this came out before Sonic 1.
I think you're thinking of the prequel of this, the Radmobile.
The game this is based on, which is Radmobile or Radmobile.
When this came out
in arcades as Radmobile in 1991, it came out before Sonic did on the Mega Drive. So this was the first appearance of Sonic.
Radmobile sounds like a phone company, like Boost Mobile or T-Mobile. Rad Mobile.
Soon to be bought by T-Mobile, just like Mint Mobile.
RIP. Yeah. When was Mint bought by TNT, AT&T?
Like a couple days ago, they were bought by T-Mobile.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Dang. Well, RIP Mobile.
Yep, no more charming Ryan Reynolds ads, unless they keep him on. I don't know. They probably won't. He's probably out. Probably gets a payout.
Yeah. Actually, I did play a little bit. I do like it quite a bit. I'm bad at it, but I do like it.
That's okay. I mean, that's like every shmup, except for Cotton, too, for me. I'm bad at it, but it's cool. I like it.
Exactly. It's a fun one. You guys are saying mobile wrong. We're saying mobile. I think we keep saying mobile.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Radmobile. Yeah, it's a Radmobile.
I see the mobile, I think T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, so I think that's why it's messing with my head. I don't really see mobile very often. That's a very...
like automobile.
That's a very gauche way to to call a car.
Gauche. Well, look at you.
Yeah, dressing
up this show today.
Exactly. Using big words. The big word Patrick. Yeah. Then saying
French
bad words.
French. Is gauche French? I think it's French.
I don't know.
Let us know, Frog Bowl.
I mean, there's gauche, there's gonad shading, you know.
That's not gonad shading.
I know. It's Garo shading.
Garo. Yeah, I looked that up for the show the other day. It was Garo.
Garo.
And then Dave didn't believe me. He's like, is that really how it's pronounced?
Garo, Mark of the Wolves. I prefer gonad shading, though, but that's just me.
Frogbo gives a smiley face, which probably means we're wrong in pronouncing it terribly. And he's just being kind.
He's being friendly. Garo.
Oh, Garo. We're asking about gauche. Is gauche a French word, and have we butchered it? Your response. Police chases were in Radmobile, Saturn Memory said, they weren't carried over to Gale Racer, unfortunately.
Wow.
Oh, so is Peter talking out of his ass? Or you're accusing him of being wrong in his article?
Wow,
indeed. No police... chases, no police to outmaneuver. All right, well,
to be
there
fair,
you go.
Though, he probably just played a little bit.
Maybe he's put more time into their arcade and just figured, well, I haven't seen it yet in the Saturn game, but like it must be in there somewhere. I'll just write it.
Yeah, happens. Well, thanks for the correction, Saturn Memories. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate being right. So when we're not, we like to correct it
and get angry. One of the two.
Yeah, whatever.
Alrighty, let's talk about the Rings of Saturn, Bose and Lace Find.
Yeah, well, I want to talk a little bit about a few other odds and ends. You can kind of consider this to be like the weekly roundup that wasn't actually written up, because this has been a super busy week for me. Between work and just personal life, I had stuff to do after work, like almost every day this week, like seeing the movie and doing some choir things. So yeah, I wasn't able to write anything up. But let's talk about what Bo Bales has done most recently. He found a he says never before known cheat code for Gex, one of our favorite games, of course. Gex, we're all big Gexual feeling type people here on this show. But
talk about that.
You can't leave right when we're going to make a bunch of Gex jokes, Pat. Like, what are you doing? Okay, he's gone. Anyway, so Gex, yeah. There's a level select code now that Bo Bales has found. And he said that it's never been known before. He also found a debug code, or not a debug code, but like a debug mode that you have to use some action replay codes to access, but they let you kind of like clip through the level and that sort of thing. So that's pretty cool. The original Gex game on the 3DO did have a debug code. It seems like that debug function is still in the Saturn version. They just took the code out. But the level select in Gex for the Saturn is the same as the one that's in the 3DO. I'm sure the code's just a little different. So what you have to do to get the level select, I'll just say, if anybody's listening on the podcast or you just want to know here at home on the show live, you have to hold the R button down on the overworld pause screen and then press left, right, L button, start, left, A-Y-A, up, Y. Hope you're all taking notes. That's kind of a weird code. I don't think it spells anything. It's just a bunch of random stuff. And then there's also a special level select that he found to like do the bonus levels and also to see the full credits when you get like a good ending. And that's holding R at the title screen and pressing down right C, right right L, start left A, up right L. And then to see the full credit sequence without going like a level select, you would hold our title screen and press down right C, right right L, start left A, up right L. So there you go. Pretty cool. Bo Bales just keeps finding more cheat codes that no one knew about before. I have not verified that this wasn't published anywhere, but like at this point we've figured like out quite a few sources where these codes could have been, not just GameFAQs, but like some Japanese websites where cheat codes have been published for the Saturn, Tips and Tricks. Also Tips and Tricks magazine back in the day is where I got a lot of my cheat codes for video games. And I have looked in there before for cheat codes and passwords and stuff for some of these Saturn games that Bo has looked into. So I gotta think he probably looked at some of those issues and didn't see the Gex level select. So it's wild that like some of these cheat codes just went unknown for all these decades. Like they put them in the game and then just didn't actually let anybody know about them. Like just use them for themselves. Like it seems like with a lot of games, there would be cheat codes or you know, other little secrets, and then they would like dole them out to magazines as kind of like a promotional thing, you know, or they would publish them maybe in like a strategy guide or something, a player's guide. But it's like sometimes I guess they just didn't, and these codes just stayed hidden until finally Bo Bales started hunting around in the code and found them. Oh, Pat, you're back.
Debugging thing. Sorry about that.
Pat couldn't handle the Gextual tension. Yes,
yeah, there's too much Gex for me to handle. I need to kill the bathroom, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I hope you're feeling much better now. That's good. So that's Gex. You know, and this is pretty cool because isn't Gex on the Saturn, it doesn't really have like a save function, you have to use passwords.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go back to levels and pick up where you left off. So you know, with a cheat code, you won't be able to pick up where you left off as far as like your collectibles, but you can at least jump into different levels. I'm sure that Pandemonium would have loved to have this cheat code back when he was doing his video.
He has to redo the entire video now.
It just would have made it easier for him to like get footage from different levels. Like he instead had to use passwords and stuff instead of just inputting a cheat code. So that's too bad. But yeah, maybe he'll redo it some one of these days. Maybe he'll decide to do an updated version, and he can use the cheat code. That'll be great.
It'd be great. Good night, Dark Savior 69.
Yes, good night.
My favorite number.
I don't know why, Pat.
What? No idea.
Why it's your favorite number.
Number, yeah. But what's the other thing we could talk
next,
about?
Next, Pigsy, who many may know as the person who, he has like a really nice YouTube channel where he goes into the process of like remaking Castlevania Symphony of the Night on the Mega Drive, on the Genesis. He's been kind of like porting it over from the PS1 and making the graphics work on the Mega Drive and using SGDK to develop it. And he like does tutorials on how to code things in SGDK based on what he's learned. Well, he's also taken a little bit of an interest in the Saturn. He's messed around with it a bit. And he recently, a day or two ago, put up a little video that we're watching here. Just like a couple second demo of Revenge of Shinobi being kind of remade on the Saturn. So that's pretty cool.
Nice. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's neat to see, you know, a little more Saturn development. And Pigsy seems to do good work with this stuff. And, you know, the more he learns about Saturn and coding on the Saturn, he's using JoeEngine, by the way. The more he learns about the closer he'll get, I would assume, to like putting up tutorial videos on YouTube, which would be great to see, because I think we'd probably get more people into Saturn homebrew if we had some good tutorials online on just how to like get into it and how to get started and what to do to accomplish what you want.
No, for real. Like I said, it looks really good. Apparently, there's more background layers, more colors, extra animation frames, C quality music, and new, more open level design. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he starts work on that, and then we could enjoy that for the Saturn. Also, Bo mentioned that here he found a new code for Gale Racers, where it makes which makes flicky Sonic ornament flicky. So.
Oh, that's right. You did. God, that popped in my head for like 2 seconds when we started talking about Rad Mobile, that Gale Racer. And then it left my head as we kept talking about it. Yes, that's right. Bo found like a cheat code to change the little dangling Sonic into a little dangling Flicky. So that's like a fun little cheat code. I don't remember what it was. I don't have it up at the moment. But yeah, that's that is a cool little tie-in. That's true. Thanks for pointing that out, Bo. And thanks for finding that. Thanks for finding all these cool codes. Yeah. And thank you to Pigsy for continuing to put out some cool stuff. Yeah.
All right. What's this new one? This the flat color squares.
Yeah. So, I think I linked us to the co-host post about this. Yeah. So GSK, or Gosoku, also known as, put up a post on co-host. I think he's also talking about this on his Twitter. About how he says, did you know Sega's classic falling block puzzle game Columns was not actually invented by Sega? I didn't know this before I read this, and it was derived from an X11 programming exercise turned game created by Hewlett-Packard programmer Jay Geertsen. Did you know that despite the relatively wide proliferation of various pre-Sega computer ports for Windows 3.1, Atari ST, and Macintosh, no footage or images of Geertsen's X11 HP UX version of Columns existed anywhere? And did you know someone finally made the effort to hunt it down?
Was that someone GSK?
No, it was not. It was a person who put up this video that GSK linked to, and if my laptop wants to load it, looks like Trev Gauntlet New is the person's name on YouTube, and you put up this this footage of it, and yeah, it's a very basic looking, like it's not all stylized like the Sega version. It's just like green, blue, and red squares that are, but it's still the heart of it. The rules of the game are Columns, plays like Columns. There's no sound to it, at least not in the YouTube video, but, you know, somebody found the original program. They got it working on Windows 10 and on Ubuntu Linux, so you can download that. The links are in, they're on archive, they're on archive.org, there you go. And then they put up a video of the gameplay of it. So yeah, that's super cool. I guess what the story was, I'll kind of paraphrase it here from what I remember reading that GSK said. The story was basically like this guy, Geertsen, made columns on the clock for Hewlett-Packard. They started like kind of shipping it with their HPUX package, just because like it was made. They're like, sure, fine, here's like a little game, little demo that comes with it. And Sega like stumbled upon it and they liked it, and they wanted to start like using it in they made an arcade cabinet for it, and then they started porting it to the SG-1000, I believe, mm-hmm. and then the Mark III, their home consoles, the first ones. And so they bought the rights, the IP rights, outright from Hewlett-Packard. Yeah, so instead of like licensing it like they would do for some other computer games back in the 80s, like Choplifter, instead they were like, hey, we just want to buy the rights to columns, to the game rules and everything, and we'll just have it. And Hewlett-Packard was like, sure, whatever, we don't care. We're not a game company. That's fair. Yeah, that's how Sega got columns. It's like sort of not really a Sega franchise. It wasn't originally made by anyone at Sega. It was made by an HP programmer.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Jay Geertsen. Yeah, so thanks to Jay Geertsen, columns is a fun game. Sega, you know, put their own little twist to it, giving it kind of a Greek,
hey guys, Taki,
you know, slant to it. And then I think columns too, they started doing different historical settings, you know, for something different, you know, and gave it some great music to play the game too. And yeah, they definitely added value to it. But
yeah, no, yeah, I love columns.
Yeah, me too. Good game.
Good game. So,
the
yeah.
first time I ever played Columns actually was on the Sega CD. It was a little like pack-in where there were like some arcade hits or whatever, like Golden Axe and Streets of Rage and stuff. And like Columns is one of those. And like a friend gave me their Sega CD. They were like, this is just sitting in my attic. It was like the late 90s. They're like, this is sitting in my attic and you're a Sega fan, so do you want it? And my games, I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. So that's how I first got to play Columns, late 90s. Thanks for zooming in on my face, Pat.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
I can see.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My nose is not in an article for once.
I don't.
We never got
know
a proper Saturn Columns. Frogbill asks. We didn't get an original Columns game for the Saturn, but in Japan, it's Japanese exclusive, of course. There was a Columns collection that came out on the Saturn. So you can play Columns on the Saturn. There is a Saturn connection here. It is a game that appears on the Saturn. But yeah, they sort of like ported all their, I think all their arcade iterations of Columns to
Saturn. Which one would you pick? You only have one. Tetris, Puzzle Bobble, Bust a Move, or Columns. Where do you side?
Yeah, I would pick Bust Move. I would say it's my favorite puzzle game. I really like it. Even if it frustrates me when my bubble like sparks to like another bubble that I was trying to like sneak it past, and it drives me nuts. But yeah, I don't know. Puzzle Bobble's just my favorite one. But I mean, Tetris and Columns are obviously really good too. So
oh yeah, I forgot Puyo Puyo as well.
Oh yeah, Puyo Puyo. I am not good at Puyo Puyo. Bunny is much better at Puyo Puyo. I'll tell you what. I was playing when I played Sonic Mania for the first time, and there is a Puyo Puyo segment that I did not expect. It was a surprise, and I'm like, what do I do? Like, I haven't played Puyo Puyo in years. Like, I'd played Mean Bean Machine, you know, like years ago. I'm like, I'm terrible at this game. I was actually like losing at it. And Bunny's like, here, give me the controller. She just like hops in the hot seat. And she beats the boss for me. I'm like, okay, thanks.
There you go.
I appreciate it.
Oh, Coin Puzzle Ouija, Slow Coin, that's what you're thinking of. That one's also really good. The cats, it's cute.
Mm. Oh, there's also Magical Drop on the Saturn. That's another one. And Cleopatra Fortune. There's a lot of puzzle games. Baku Baku Animal is a Saturn.
Oh, I also forgot for Coin Puzzle Exchanger on the Neo Geo. There's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, if I had to pick one, definitely Bust a Move / Puzzle Bobble is my favorite.
Is it?
Oh, I almost forgot the Puzzle Fighter too. That's on the Saturn.
Yeah, that's true. That's another one. A lot of puzzle games on the Saturn.
Yeah.
A lot of puzzle games.
I like the sexy ones, but that's just my opinion.
Well, that's fine. Nothing wrong with playing a sexy game now and then.
All the sexy
games.
So
yeah, that was another little fun update we wanted to discuss with you. And I guess the last thing we have for you
here?
Is...
Recently, I did a post over on Twitter.
There are Mr. clones that are out there now, and they're like going for like what, $99? Like,
yeah,
much
this
cheaper
is a work
than
in progress.
The official Mister.
So this one's a work okay. in progress. Essentially, it's using, I think it's, they're saying there was recycled parts, or there's like they found the new parts, but yeah, it's gonna be a lot cheaper. It's gonna use different, like, it's not gonna be one to one. They're gonna be like, I think they're gonna be like using USB-C and USB-A on some of the stuff to make it a little okay. bit easier. You can power it with a 12 or 5 volt charger now, or 5 volt okay. connector. So there's a lot more benefits to this one. I think it's really cool. This looks more like a mod. The things that, so before the DE10 Nano was like $99, I paid about $110, like, or $110 back in the day when that first okay. came out. So this was like, but this is like first came out. Like, this was like 2018. Like, this, like, I literally like jumped on as soon as I saw it happening. I was like, I'm on board for it, baby. So as soon as they started yeah. releasing the basic cores, I just jumped right onto that, and I've been day one. I'll pat myself on the back for that. But yeah, essentially
pat himself on the back.
Yeah, I'll pat.
Excellent.
But yeah, essentially it was cheap, but now because of the chip shortage, the parts being sort of not made anymore, it's ballooned up to about $225 USD or $190 for the academic price to buy one.
For a
which,
regular mist. For a regular mister, like the
just the
official
D10
one, right?
board.
Okay. So there are like more parts you have to buy in addition to the DE10 Nano.
Yeah, the DE10
to
Nano.
Like build if you a get, full Mister.
Yeah, you can do a lot of stuff with just the DE10 Nano though. With the
okay.
The, like, I know that a vast majority of the cores, you don't need any of the RAM or like the board on there. The extra like the VGA out board. Was it the analog board?
Okay.
But like.
Yeah, see, I don't have a Mister. I report in the Mister, but I don't have one, so I don't know like these little details about like how to actually build one.
Fake Mister fan, just joking. Only plan. But no, essentially, what's going on is that listen to this podcast while flipping some pinball. Nice fart daily.
Nice.
But yeah,
community challenge started this week, by the way. Get to playing some Last Gladiator 9.7.
I'll give you some 9.7. But anyways,
okay.
So the DE10 now, you can do a lot without the board, but if you want to have like Neo Geo support, some of like the N64, the Saturn, you need to get the 256 megabytes of RAM. No, sorry,
okay.
Is it 512? I forget what it was. I think it's 512. I could be wrong. The size of it's been a little bit, but there's the
okay.
RAM stick, you get the analog board and a bunch of other add-ons for it. So, there's a lot of benefits of getting that. But yeah, if you just get the base board, you can get a lot of cores just with the board itself. So, but now because of the price inflation, the inflation on this price on it, it's just like $225. And honestly, I would argue that that's even worth it just for that now, just because of
yeah.
all the stuff you play on the Mister with like analog RGB out natively. You're saving so much money on like, you know. Like, if you add in, oh, you want to get a RGB modded Famicom or a Super Nintendo with what's that chip called? The NES Junior mod to give it RGB out and a couple other mods. By the time you do that, it's going to be the same, a little bit more expensive than DE10 Nano, but. Yeah, like I said, I still think the DE10 Nano is a great price with that, but this one, they're remaking the board and they're charging about $100. For each of the boards was going to be sweet once that comes out, so it should be more accessible.
You don't think there's any concerns with these boards, like maybe flaking out or, you know, not being as good as the original DE10 Nano?
At first, I was worried about that. Like, I think I had some worries because it was pretty vague. And when I saw the post, I thought it was like, you know how they have the Sarus was like, oh hey, some random dude did, but this is like a dude that's like manufacturing and working and actually
I'm thinking like, you know, this is like another Saru issue where it's like some of the sellers are like doing this the right way and they have good parts, then other ones are just like sourcing janky parts that may, I mean, I guess in this case, like, you're not sticking the Mister into a Saturn or some other console, so you're not going to damage some other device. Like, it either works or it doesn't. But
yeah,
I guess I just wondered if, like, you know, getting it this cheap is going to have some kind of adverse effect on your experience playing the cores.
Yeah, right now they were saying that the pins they have for the RAM board is the males up, but then I forget what it was. I think it's the female side, but they want the male side, so you'd plug in the RAM stick. I forget exactly which side it was. It was the opposite of whatever is on the regular one, but they're going to get that fixed.
Okay.
But yeah, from what I've seen on it, it looks pretty good. They did all the testing. It seems like it's 1-to-1 almost, so... As long as there's no massive changes or massive product issue and there's support for it, I'm all for it, because like the biggest thing on here was just the fact that it's hard to get these boards, and now they're actually modifying this in a good way and like making this a little bit easier to get, not to mention it adding on like stuff like USB-C, so that way it could be like more compatible with newer technology and stuff like that. So this seems to be
What's the DE Nano 10 use instead of USB-C? Is this for the power?
It used the barrel connector for the power. I think it's going to use the same barrel connector. But yeah, before, you had to get adapters, like a USB mini, like the USB micro to a dongle to be able to plug stuff into it.
Okay.
So yeah, there's a lot of issues with that. But with this one, I'm excited for it because it looks like they'll be able to support a little bit more and get them out a little bit more and get more affordable pricing on it, which I really like a lot.
Yeah. Cool. There you go. Mr. More affordable for the masses, I guess.
Mr. For the masses.
Is this out yet? Is this this cheaper one out yet? Is it out
I was
for sale?
Unsure. I think they said that it's just a status update. I don't think they put it up for sale yet. So I think they're still working on that, but I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be out soon. Cool.
It's going to sell faster.
Thanks for the rundown, Pat. I'm glad you had watched that video and you kind of knew what was going on with that. I had just kind of seen something in passing by it, and I thought, just like I said, my first thought was is this another Saru situation where this is so cheap that it's kind of concerning, or is this not a Saru situation and it's actually okay that it's cheaper?
Yeah. So no, I'm really excited to see this come out. So hopefully, this comes out. It's probably going to sell it immediately once it goes up, because that's going to be pretty important. Could get the cheap one. Honestly, yeah, I honestly do want to get one just to send to you, Dan. Dan's like, no.
It would be cool to have a mister so I could check stuff out, because, I said I report on these things all the time, but I don't have my own to really check out. So it's I kind of rely on other people posting videos of testing out the Mister, or taking screenshots or whatever. I can't do my own. So yeah, this definitely makes it more accessible price wise. I wasn't about to spend more than $200, on one, but if it's half the price now, that certainly makes it more in reach. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, so definitely recommend people keep an eye out on it. We will keep an eye out ourselves, and there we go. It has Saturn cores, so that way, there we go, tied into Saturn, so are we good. So new force Saturn, one of the cool case. Yeah, honestly, I really like it. I am excited to see how it turns out. I will hopefully be getting one. Hopefully Dan will be getting one. Hopefully Dave will get one.
Yeah. We'll check it out. All right, is there anything else, Pat, or is that our show?
I was just considering, I was thinking screaming to the microphone for a couple of minutes, but...
Oh, well, there you go. We have a special segment for you all. 2 minutes of Pat screaming into the microphone. Prepare yourselves.
Exactly. But no, that's about it.
Okay.
This actually was not a plug for my other podcast. Ignore this. I'm trying to get to the Patreon page. I don't know why I'm opening this browser. Let me do that. My bad. I didn't mean to plug my other podcast. My bad.
It's all good. Everybody listen to the Spirit Hunters if you care to.
If you like.
Shadow Mask is going to be streaming the first Matrix movie on VHS tonight on his Twitch. So yes, come go watch that after the show here. When's it going to start? 9 p.m. Eastern. I think it usually starts 9 p.m. Eastern, so that's in a little under 2 hours from now.
So yeah, watch that. Put the link.
Yeah, it's always fun.
We chat about the May Shiro challenge. Didn't we already talk about that?
I mentioned it for 2 seconds, Notorious VDP. Yeah, well, let's mention that again. The Shiro Monthly Community Challenge did start up this past week on May 1st, and it runs all month through the month of May.
May the 1st be with
and
you.
And it's, we're playing, yeah, you too, and also with you. we're playing pinball. Last Gladiators version 9.7 all month. And then there's going to be weekly challenges for each of the boards in Necronomicon, because that runs on the same engine as Last Gladiator version 9.7. There's a whole article all about the community challenge up on our website that was written by Cecil Harvey. Thank you again to him. So you can check that out. We talked about that on the show last week, ahead of the monthly challenge starting up. So yeah, everybody record some times. I played a little Last Gladiator on an emulator, because that was just like what I had time to. I played, I think, the first board. So I put a little bit of time in, but I can't submit my scores, you know, because it's on emulator. You have to play on a real Saturn using a real disc or an ODE or whatever. So I have to still put the game on my satiator. So once I do that, then I'll be able to submit some
the
times.
The Sashiones?
Yes.
I want the Sashiones.
I don't know what a Sashione is.
Los Passionistas.
Top score announcements next week. Yeah, Double Dime will have top score announcements. So we'll get an update on the top scores next week. And also as far as our Netlink tournament is going in Puzzle Bobble, I think we got all the way through the first round in just a little over a week, which is like pretty fast for how these tournaments go, considering, you know, it's 16 people have to all organize times to play against each other. And we've already gotten several matches in round two, including Kesha and I's finished already. So, yeah, that's going well, too. Yeah, so a lot going on with the Saturn community this month.
Yeah, my question, though, Dan, are you going to celebrate May the 4th be with you, or are you going to celebrate May 4?
I will probably celebrate May 4 by just watching anime tomorrow and maybe doing some gardening outside.
You should definitely play May 4.
Play May 4? Okay, yeah, what May are you 4. Saying?
Oh, there's this meme for Devil May Cry where they just erase the devil cry. And it looks like May, so May it's like May 2, gotcha. May 3, May 4, and yeah. I photoshopped this one up. May 4. Okay. So hopefully everyone celebrates May 4. I'm excited to play May. I'm excited to celebrate May 4 and of course May 5. Some of my favorite
Cinco
days.
De Mayo. Cinco de Mayo. You gonna get a burrito?
No. Why would I do that?
No. Because it's Cinco de Mayo.
No.
On May 5th, no. It is literally. Actually
maybe
Cinco
I should. Oh, maybe I should get some burritos.
May is Matrix month for Shadow Mask. Matrix yes. month. May is a lot like of that. Things. So, all right, well, do you have the Patreon patrons up?
No, I don't.
No, okay.
I will not read them this episode.
I hope joking. You do. They just joking. They very kindly contribute
only
money
playing,
to our cause.
I'm joking, all right.
To our mission of outreach for the Sega Saturn.
Outreach.
Community
outreach.
Building.
All right, I want to give a shout-out to Murder of Crows, Emil Nova, Johannes Fett, Sega Steve, Blue Moon 95, Casual Seth, Cerulean, Chris Piper, Chris97X, Daniel Fredrickson, David Zaney, Derek Pasquarella, a.k.a. A-Team, behind the amazing, recently, Jung Rhythm Translations. Yep, I said it right this time.
There you go, Jung Fatron, Rhythm.
Fratron Krendotaku, Jim Clasher Rank, Ian Keg, Lion Witch Publishing? Oh, Lion Witch Publishing. Lion Witch Publishing. Sorry, I got... Momfus, Normal Guy, Newt Rageous, Robert Ramsey, Rowan Dinked, Stone Man, The Sega Guys, thank you again, Sega Guys, and Young Money, so Wee. Thank you very much, guys, for backing us. And
thank
if you,
you everyone.
Like to get shout out on the show, you could back us at the $10 and up level, and we will shout you out at the end of the show and on other stuff as well and podcasts.
And you'll get podcasts early. Like I think there's a podcast available for them right now. Two of them are up early right
now.
Two that are not available
double
to
deuce. Left, so. We got one from the Sega guys and another one for us with the Sega guys again. So two Sega guys.
Editor's Corner.
And then a podcast that the Sega guys did with Dave that he didn't invite me to. So just joke. No, actually, no, I think it's with Sega Lord X.
He didn't invite me either, so don't worry. So, yeah, Sega Lord X is on there with them.
I'm only playing. But
look forward to that coming out publicly eventually, soonish. But if you want to listen to them now, in about a week, we're going to listen to them now. Go ahead and back us. I think it's at any level. You can
$3
get
level,
the early $3 and up. You get the early podcast. So there you go.
So yeah, and of course, if you guys can't back us financially regularly, you can also go on our store. You can buy a magazine cool little magazine if you want. We have plenty still left. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want some magazines, mangoes. You
know, or also, just join the Discord server and hang out, or the Facebook group, or, you know, follow us on Twitter. Yeah, especially join the Discord server and you know, hang out with everybody and talk Saturn. And it's a good time. Everybody's great. We have a good community growing.
It's on the social. Just go on our social. It'll be on our Discord. I have a link to join it. Join it. Go talk with us. Let us know what you think. You know, also like this video, subscribe, ring the bell if you want to keep watching our videos and seeing us live. Send link. Death threats, I think, directly to my house. That'd be great. Like I said, any feedback is welcome. Good feedback.
Play yeah. Mr. Bones, Pat.
No.
You have before. We have video evidence of you.
I have video
Mr.
evidence,
Bones.
But they also have video evidence of me cutting my hand off with a hatchet.
Or do they? Okay.
You don't want to see either one of those videos, is what I'm saying.
Moose Track said, "Win some Saturn competition prizes if you got the skills." Yes,
the
thank
skills
you to Moose Track for making
these
super awesome custom patches that are the prizes that you get for being at the top of the various leaderboards for the May Community Challenge and all of our monthly community challenges. Moose Track makes some awesome embroidered patches.
I'm excited. So, I love your stuff, Moose Track.
Yeah, I like my little Netlink enabled one that I have. Little Netlink one that came with the X-Band modem. It's really nice. I'm just using it as kind of like decoration. I'm like leaning against my CRT. So I get into the Netlink mood when I see it.
I'll hit up Moose Track. Maybe I can see if we can make some patches.
Pat patches. That'd be good. Yeah, with like the polygonal version of your face on them.
Yeah, or like my Twitter logo, one of those two.
Sure.
Either one. I like both. Trevo said, "Pat, I'm going to make it my life plan to secure all the copies of Mr. Bones and personally send you each and every day until you made its greatest game on the Saturn."
Oh man, that's a threat.
I need to like do some hammering then. I have to get an extra mallet to smash every copy.
You need to buy some more hammers.
Hammer. Like I said, it'll be my daily ritual. Wake up, drink breakfast, and smash a copy of Mr. Bones with a hammer that came in. Pat Pokey's
well,
on the patch.
Thank you, everyone, for
Pokey's
watching
on the, patch.
The show.
Do, do, do.
We really appreciate it. We appreciate everybody hanging out with us and listening to the podcast afterward. And we look forward to seeing y'all again next week on the Shiro Show.
We will. We'll see you later. And remember, you must play Sega Saturn.
You must. Bye.